but it's going to be weird. Have I got your attention now? I'll get it a little bit more in a bit. But, you know, the first thing I need to say to you, and you may have noticed in the reading that I just did of this particular gospel, you know, there's four gospel stories about Jesus, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're all kind of got their own flavor. They all have their own sort of way of telling the story. And in this particular story, the most ancient manuscripts end with the women being totally freaked out and running away. And that's it, right? There's no, like, Jesus, like I read the kids a few moments ago, Jesus kind of greeting Mary and saying, I have something for you to do, and all that conversation. You know, in one of the Gospels, Jesus is like, hey, don't even touch me, you know. And so all of that and all the, there's disciples that hear about it and they go running back to the tomb. That's not in Mark. Later on, because it was so weird for there not to be those stories, scribes, you know, people that were writing down these stories and retelling them over and again, they added some extra things. That's not uncommon in the Bible. But I just, you know, for today, I think it's kind of interesting for us just to kind of leave it exactly where our most ancient transcript says, which is, oh my gosh, what the heck? Yeah, that's my translation. I'm from Southwestern Virginia. We would say, what the heck, okay? You might too. I don't know. So I needed to tell you that. I also have a new preacher confession. I'm not actually a new preacher. I've been preaching for 20 years, but I'm new here. I just came this last summer, and so I'm still learning things about you and your church, and you're learning things about me, some of them good. One of the things I do when I, first of all, before I tell you that, is one of the things I'm learning about you is this church is awesome. And, you know, I'm not trying to pander to the crowd here, although a little pandering never really hurt anybody. But I've just really been blessed by watching us and worshiping with each other in this last season. So I'm really happy to be your pastor. You might not be, but I'm really happy to be your pastor. Now, one of the things I wanted to confess, though, is that when I'm kind of at the end of the day, you know, you're tired and you're kind of like not wanting to think about things. What do you do? Well, some of us read, some of us listen to music and that sort of thing. But the thing that I've picked up recently that I just have to admit is I go to Instagram and I look at stories and reels. Now, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody's thumb hurt? You know, from just... I've actually, it's about as mindless as anything else you can do. But the thing is that I have discovered that there are things that I would really like to do. The algorithm has got me pegged for a potential do-it-yourself kind of guy, right? I got my DeWalt tools in the garage, you know, I'm ready to go. And I see these amazing, I see other stuff, of course, but I see like how to make a bowl with a circular saw. Oh, you know. Or these amazing things where they take things that they find in the bottom of lakes, you know, just crusted over with rust and that sort of thing, and someone goes through, deconstructs the material, and it's amazing. You look at that and you watch it over the course of like a minute or two, all this kind of work that is done, and this thought goes into your head, I could do that. Wouldn't it be cool to get that screwdriver I know where to pry it off now, you know? And then suddenly there's nuts and bolts laying in the floor. For me, they're laying in the floor. I didn't think to put them in a particular place. But, you know, there's all this kind of amazing stuff that you could potentially do. And you see this and you go, man, wouldn't that be awesome? I could do that. Now, I also have, you know, I'm not, you know, spring chicken or anything, and I've learned that some things that I want to do and I think that I can do, there's no way I'm going to do. You ask my wife, you know. Hey, Bert, would you? Yeah, I'll get to it. I got it. Sometime this year would be nice. Well, okay. You said you'd do that 5 years ago. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to think of the things that you can do, but also there's things that you probably shouldn't, or you might not necessarily have the skills to do it. Surgery is not a DIY project. Haircuts on yourself, not a DIY project. Anything, for me, maybe you are in a different place, anything that involves electricity or warming pipes with acetylene torches. I set a house on fire once. We don't have to talk about that. But not... It didn't burn down. It just was a small fire. But, you know, not really a DIY kind of project, okay? Pancakes. For me, I make really, really bad pancakes. Waffles, I'm okay with. But I'm not making this up. I have been forbidden from making pancakes in my own house. You're not. No, don't put it away. Don't do it. So there are things that we think that we can do, that we, you know, can look at a video on YouTube or a reel and think, like, that is quite possible for me to be able to do. And then, well, maybe that's not a good idea. Are you with me on this? Has anyone experienced what I'm talking about here? Desi's hand goes right up. Me. All right. So, here is the conundrum that the women face as they are working their way to the tomb. Jesus' body has been in the tomb, and it's a tradition and a good practice to anoint the body, but also to use certain spices and other material to kind of be with the body. The body is left to decompose, and then later they will come back and collect the bones. The bones are collected and put in an ossuary and kept in a sacred place in the family's life, okay? So that's the process, and so they want to take care of the Lord. And they are off to the tomb to do this, the three of them. Now, what happens is they are going down the road trying to figure out how it is that we're going to deal with that big, big stone, all right? The stone is put in front of the cave. It's a hewn cave. They put it inside there, or in front of it, so that you know, it's sealed up, okay? Now, they're thinking to themselves, what is it that we're going to do to get that thing moved over? How will we do that? Now, I've read and I've heard people say, well, they should have been thinking about that when they left the house. Right? Now, you've never said that to your kids before, have you? Well, of course. And so there's this kind of like, well, but you know, these are smart women. They know what they're doing with, and they're figuring it out. That's a whole conversation. We got to figure this out, and they were working to figure it out. My wife, for Christmas, got a sweatshirt, and I love this sweatshirt. It said, I'll figure it out. And like a quote, I'll figure it out. And the attribution line, you know, who said it, at the bottom of the quote is, this woman daily, said this woman daily. These women are working to serve, and they're working to figure it out. And honestly, let me just stop here for a second and say, this is really important to remember, that it is the women who have the first revelation of Jesus's resurrection. It is the women, not all those disciple boys that have been following around and that sort of thing, but it is the women who are leading and speaking, given the job to speak the good news to the world. First ones there to do that. So if you know, I just want to say to my sisters, good you. Don't let anyone say that you shouldn't be doing the speaking or the leading, okay? Hear me. So they get to the tomb, and they're trying to figure out how to DIY this whole thing. And the good news is they don't have to. They probably couldn't have. This was a job that they couldn't figure out. And in this particular case, they didn't need to. Now, there was the stone that was rolled in front of that tomb. There was a body sealed inside of that. And that stone was heavy enough to keep whatever was on the inside, inside. And by their thinking, whatever is wanting to come and steal that body or get to that body or whatever, we're going to keep that on the outside. That stone is there to be heavy and to be a barrier and to keep things in the right place, to keep it, you know, the right thing in the right box. And Jesus, however, has another idea. Amen? Yeah. In fact, the thing is that we have these stones in our lives that need to be rolled. Maybe it is shame or guilt. Maybe there is a burden of anger. Maybe there is really, really broken relationships that we have. Those barriers to keep things from crossing over are right there. They're in our life. We carried, some of us carried those into this room with us today. And some of us have been carrying those kind of things, those kind of burdens behind that rolled wall, behind that stone for a very, very long time. And there's not a doggone thing that can be done about it. At least that's what we've been told. That's what we tell ourselves. There are lies that we tell ourselves. There's half-truths that we tell ourselves about these things. Oh, don't want to, can't do that, sorry. Right? But Jesus can. There is such a boundary that Jesus can push right through. Jesus was able. God was able. The Holy Spirit was able to move that out of the way. And so what they couldn't do, what we can't do, Jesus can. Does this make sense? It does it to me. It blows my mind every time I think about it. But it's true. And I've watched it in my own self, that I couldn't roll the stone away, just like I couldn't do those things that I thought were perfectly, you know, within my capacity. In fact, there are all kinds of people that will tell you that the way that you do this, the way that you save yourself even, you can't, but the way that you do that is you be a good boy. all right, or girl, and you do all the right things, you follow the law. If you follow the law, if you follow the things that you're supposed to do, then everything will work out just fine. How is that working out for you? Right? Life's more complicated than that. Our hearts, our spirits are more complicated than that. And so we cannot take care of this ourselves. The good news is you don't have to. It's almost easy to say, well, let me say, oh gosh, well, Jesus will kind of take this and sort of magically make it go away. That's not true. There are times that miracles do happen, but you know what? Jesus will start working that stone with you in your heart, right where you are. You can't just kind of spiritually bypass your way around like, oh, this is a terrible thing. I'm just going to hope for magic. No, Jesus is ready to step out of that tomb and into your life in such a ways that rolls those stones right out of the way. You don't have to DIY it. And that's the good news. That's the good news. So I want to invite you to consider this. Perhaps, maybe, we should go to where Jesus invites us to go. Right? Do you remember at the end, he tells the women, go and tell them to meet me in Galilee. There's different versions of where they're supposed to go based upon the gospel. But in this particular case, go to Galilee. All right? I want you to meet me there. Would you please come? I want you to meet me there. And find what it is that he's leading us to next. Because as much as we celebrate Easter, yay, Easter, give me that, would you? Yay, Easter. As much as we celebrate Easter, there's tomorrow. And Thursday, whatever Thursday is. Or whatever. So I invite you to all of this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.